One of the most enduring and controversial figures in American politics has died. Former Senator Strom Thurmond, a Republican from South Carolina, held the record as the oldest and longest-serving member of the United States Senate. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports on Thurmond's life and career.
The Senate will come to order.
100-year-old Strom Thurmond spent nearly half of his life under the dome of the United States Capitol. When he was presiding officer of the Senate, he never missed the chance to rap the opening gavel and give his customary comment on the benediction. "Beautiful prayer," he would say to the chaplain, but his twangy, thick southern drawl made the words downright unintelligible. Thurmond, like the Senate in which he served, has been reviled, revered, and ridiculed over the years. He was born in 1902, before the Wright brothers' first flight, before the first broadcast on radio. His home was in Edgefield, an unruly county seat in a region of aristocrats, described as a place with nice people, but they'll shoot you. His own father missed out on a political career himself when he was confronted by a drunken rival, who he shot through the heart. The younger Thurmond began his career as a Democrat in the state Senate. He served as a circuit court judge and then won national attention as a populist governor after World War II. In 1948, he broke away from the Democrats and ran for president against Harry S. Truman as a states' rights Dixiecrat, vowing to uphold the segregation of whites and blacks.
"We are fighting for state sovereignty. In South Carolina, we have made great progress in helping the colored people. But we think it's unconstitutional for the Congress to attempt to pass such proposals as have been recommended by President Truman, such as the so-called anti-poll tax law, the anti-lynching law."
Thurmond placed third, carrying only his home state of South Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. 40 years later, he insisted the effort was a battle of federal versus state control.
"The 1948 race was not a racist race. As far as I was concerned, it was a question of power. Are you going to leave the power where the Constitution put it, chiefly with the states and with the people, or are you going to shift it all to Washington? And we were concerned that you're going to keep shifting it to Washington."
In 1954, Thurmond became the only U.S. senator ever elected by write-in campaign. 3 years later, he led a record-breaking filibuster against a civil rights bill, speaking for 24 hours and 18 minutes straight, while an aide waited in the cloakroom with a bucket so Thurmond could relieve himself and keep one foot in the Senate. In 1964, after the passage of the Civil Rights Act, he joined the GOP. Although he quietly switched from D. South Carolina to R. South Carolina, the move has been attributed as the first step toward the Republican Party's eventual dominance in the South. Years later, as the black vote became more critical to his political survival, Thurmond realigned his politics once more, becoming the first Southern senator to hire a black staffer and contributing large sums of money to black colleges. But more than 50 years later, Thurmond's segregationist past still stirs trouble. This past December, at his 100th birthday celebration, then-Republican Senate leader Trent Lott set off a firestorm by remarking that had Thurmond been elected president, quote, "We wouldn't have had all these problems over the years." Lott later apologized but was forced to step down as leader in the new Congress. Nadine Cahotas is the author of Strom Thurmond and The Politics of Southern Change. She says whether or not Thurmond regretted his role as an opponent of racial justice, he did change with the times and always thought of himself as being of the people.
"The 1965 Voting Rights Act changed who the people of South Carolina were as he saw them, that is to say, the voters. Suddenly and almost literally overnight, if you look at the registration figures, there is a whole different kind of electorate that he needs to pay attention to, that indeed I think a part of his career is an example of why the vote is important and why it makes a difference."
Cahotas says Thurmond was a small-p politician, one who responded to constituents, more than the large-L legislator, one who writes and passes laws. Indeed, there are more buildings bearing Thurmond's name than legislation. Without question, his passion was the military. His father fought in the Civil War. In his own World War II service, Thurmond landed on D-Day with the 82nd Airborne Division. He fought in France, Belgium, and Germany, and was awarded 5 battle stars and 18 decorations. A half-century later, as chairman of the Armed Services Committee, the man who boasted that he'd held an Army commission for 75 years wasn't sure just what to make of the debate over the policy dubbed Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
With this country, the situation existing here now, gays in the military should not be a top priority. The economy ought to be a top priority. The deficit ought to be a top priority. Health care ought to be a top priority.
From his orange-tinted hair plugs to tales of his hugging and kissing a woman on her way to the death chamber, Thurman's life hardly lacked color. At 44, he married his first wife, his secretary, who was 22. At 66, he married his second wife, a former Miss South Carolina, also 22, with whom he had four children. Thurman himself attributed his long life and career to a strict exercise regimen, morning prunes, and an appreciation of beautiful women.
Age should not make any difference as long as you're healthy and in good shape and can do the job.
His longevity thwarted many would-be senators. It was said in South Carolina that there were a lot of politicians in their graves waiting on Senator Thurman's retirement. Even as he approached 100, Thurman made the obligatory home state appearances, from pie-eating contests to okra festivals.
I love the people. I give my whole life to working for them. You see, we get about 1,000 letters a day, and anything I can do to help folks, I'm glad to do it.
Though his diet precluded pork, he brought plenty home. A sworn enemy of bloated government, he never missed a chance to get South Carolina its share of new federal programs. In his later years, many found it hard to believe Thurman could still be effective. He had difficulty hearing witnesses, relied on index cards for his remarks, and suffered memory lapses. But he was easily reelected in 1984 and in 1990. In his last campaign, in 1996, he faced a well-financed Democratic opponent who made Thurman's age an issue. His rival ran ads that accentuated Thurman's liver-spotted face with the message, "It's about time for him to come home." South Carolina voters didn't think so. Thurman won re-election with 53% of the vote and a 70% approval rating. And after casting nearly 17,000 votes in the Senate, he presided over the chamber's adjournment on the last day of his term. The longest-serving senator in the history of the United States banged the gavel, raised his arms, and said simply, "That's all." Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.